Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 363, The Blind Will See. Guest minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, March 24th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I just want to start out and ask the Lord to come in. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that this word is your word. Let it go forth out of my mouth the way that would honor you. Show us your face, Lord. Show us your face today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it touch every person's body and mind. Open up their hearts. Open up their bodies for healing. And we just praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry. The devil tried to take me out this week, and he is not successful. Hallelujah. Victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Today's story is out of John 9. We're going to go through the whole chapter, basically. But the Lord told me to do it as a play. Do you like plays?
Yes.
I do, too. But you're going to have to visualize, because I have no actors, and I have no backdrop, and I have no clothes. So I do have some pictures that Santos will put on periodically. But I'm going to give you the scene, and I want you to imagine what's going on, like a play, okay? So click on your imaginations. So we start out with scene one. Walking along the road, Jesus and his disciples have just left a place where he was almost stoned because he is upsetting the people, the government, the Pharisees. He's upsetting them. And they're walking along, and on the road, they see a man who was born blind. How he knew that, we don't know. Maybe he had a band around his eyes so nobody could see his eyes. Maybe he didn't have any eyes at all. He was born blind. We doesn't say. But for our purpose at the play, there are people walking back and forth. And here comes, you can go ahead and put the first picture up, Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus sees this man sitting there. Now this man is a beggar. Tells us later on in the scripture that he was begging for money. As a blind man, he couldn't go out to work, and so this is what he had to do for a living. Now, there's a stigma with that, especially back in that day, when you could not work and you had some major illness, everyone thought you had sinned. You were a sinner. So his life was full of shame and guilt and condemnation, and that was his lot in life. So what age he is, we do not know. But he's sitting there, and Jesus sees him. So the disciples ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, they were automatically thinking this is part of the common belief in Jewish culture, that there was some calamity or suffering was the result of some great sin. So to the disciples, this was an opportunity to have a theology discussion. But to Jesus, that's not what he wanted to do. So he answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Sin came into the world with Adam, and death was the result. Sickness is death in its first stages. Every sickness has the goal of death in our lives. Sin is the root, and sickness is the fruit. So neither this man nor his parents were at fault for his blindness, because this wasn't about personal sin. Now, if that man heard him say that, I imagine his heart leapt. Because for just a second, maybe he didn't have to live in shame. Maybe he didn't have to live in guilt that he did something wrong. Maybe he wasn't asking all the time, what did I do to deserve this? Because sin came in the beginning. It doesn't mean that it's our sickness is caused by that sin. So giving sight to the blind and bringing people out of darkness was urgent. Jesus, the light of the world, fulfilled the prophecies of bringing freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Hallelujah. I love that. And again, it's read in Luke 4. Isaiah 35, 5 says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped." Psalm 146, 8, "The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." So these were the prophecies that were spoken when Jesus would come. So this was an opportunity to show God's glory and great love for his people. Jesus wasn't worried about who sinned. He was worried about showing God's glory. He was focused on getting out that he is the Messiah. So Jesus pointed the question away from the why and went into what God would do about it. So it says, "Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing." So Jesus used his saliva with some mud. Does anybody want to try that? No, it sounds very gross. But you know what? Jesus healed 8 blind people in the Gospels. And this was the only one that was born blind. And he wanted to show something, I do believe. I believe that he was creating, using the dirt and creating and making new eyes for him. So whether he didn't have any eyes at all, or he had eyes that were not focused, Jesus recreated them. And he gave him something new. He gave him a new life. So, hallelujah. You know, he's the only one in the history of Scripture that was born blind that got eyes. He's famous. He's a famous man, and we don't even know his name. I thought about giving him a name, but that would be a little bit too much liberty, I do believe. So, excuse me. In scene 2, we're back home in his neighborhood. Go ahead with the next picture. Look at the smile on that man's face. Do you think he was calm? I don't think so. If you'd never seen anything in your whole life, wouldn't you be a little bit fanatical? Wouldn't you be jumping around? Wouldn't you be smiling and excited and saying, "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness"? I know I would be. I know I was. When I got set free from the stuff that I lived through, my sicknesses that I lived through, I was uncontainable. Because Jesus changes everything. This man couldn't see anything, not a light, not a dark, nothing. He had no eyes. And now he does. And so everything is brand new. All the people, everything is brand new to him, like a new baby. He's got to be excited. He's got to be excited. So the characters in this little scene is the previous blind man, his neighbors, and others who used to see him begging. Wow, freedom. He had to be leaping through there and running around. I don't know how far away from where he sat to the pool of Siloam to back here to the neighborhood that he went, but he had to be leaping and jumping and singing and praising God, right? But you know what happens immediately? Opposition comes. The minute Jesus transforms something in our lives, somebody, something comes in and opposition comes at us. Like he just said, it's not all glory right as soon as you're saved. There's hardships we got to go through. So immediately, the arguing and the denial of who he was came in. The people are like, who is this guy? This the guy that used to be sitting by the gate, you know, by on the side of the road begging? No, I don't think so. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe he looks like him. And the man kept saying, "I am the man. I am he." Because he looks so different. Not just because he has eyes, but because he's free. He's no longer living in sin. The thought of sin and shame and guilt. He's free. Yeah. He is free. There's no hanging ons. He is excited. And they can't even say they recognize him. Excuse me. So the testimony that he gave then, because we all have one, right? The testimony was, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. It's very simple, right? This guy put mud on my eyes, and how hard that would have been not to like rub at it because it was drying on his eyes. But you know, he was obedient. He thought, what the heck, right? He heard him say that it wasn't his fault. He heard him say that it wasn't his parents' fault that he was blind. So I'm going to go with whatever he wants to do, right? So he believed him. So he got up, and however far away that was, that man made his way there, and he washed, and he was clean. Yeah, yeah. And he said, I washed, and then I could see. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But the people, darn people, they're so disbelieving and doubtful. They're like, prove it. Where is he? Where's this guy? Who is he? His answer, I don't know. I mean, I was blind. Couldn't see a thing. I don't even know what he looks like. Right? He has no idea. At this point in his journey with the Lord, all he knows is that he was healed by a man named Jesus. He didn't know he was from Nazareth. He didn't know that he was the Messiah. He just knew he could see. That was good enough for him. Be good enough for me. Totally blind for however many years, and now you can see everything. Good enough for me. But they just kept arguing and trying to drag him down. Don't let people do that to you. If you have an impactful relationship with Jesus, don't let people drag you down. You just keep on living it. You just show them your best life. Yes. Hallelujah. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to stand around and argue with people and try to prove something you don't have to prove. You know you're different. You know you're changed. You know God is good. Amen. Amen. So they drag him now to the Pharisees. Picture number 4. Now, this scene is scene 3. We are standing before the Pharisees for an investigation. The characters are the healed man and the Pharisees. He's like, okay, I'll go. I don't care. I'll show them. It's fine. It says in verse 14 and 15, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Imagine that. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Now, Jesus broke 2 Sabbath rules that day. He healed the man, and he made mud or clay, which was construed as a form of kneading and was forbidden. For heaven's sakes. It's bad enough, you know, that they've got all these man-made rules, but Jesus wasn't caring about those things because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was for them to understand holy God. It wasn't for making all these rules that has everybody all worked up about turning some mud into a little circle. But they considered that a broken rule. So now he's broke 2. So he just about got stoned before he came to this place. And now here he is doing another broken rule. You go, Jesus. I mean, he's just trying to show that this is the most ridiculous thing. He really is. You know, and so they're just saying, how is it that you can see? They're all stirred up. They're all in a tizzy. How can you see? So the man gave his testimony again. He put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I see. It makes no sense, but that's Jesus, right? So some Pharisees says, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. The others ask, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? Right? I mean, so now they're divided. You got all these Pharisees, and now some of them are divided going, how could this happen? How could a miracle happen if he was a sinner? So that's caused some division there. So the Pharisees asked the healed man, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He's like, yes, it was. I was blind and now I'm not. And yes, I can see. His response was, he is a prophet. That sounds good, right? Jesus did not specifically say to this man that he would be healed if he washed in the pool of Siloam, but it was implied in the action. He didn't say, go wash and you'll see. He just said, go wash. So though Jesus was not present when the man actually gained his sight, one could say that Jesus prophesied that he would gain his sight if he did what he had been told to do. So this is why he thought he was a prophet, because he prophesied to me to go do it. So now, in defending his healing, this man was becoming convinced that Jesus was more than just a man. Here he has moved his status up to prophet. He is growing in his understanding and proclamation about who Jesus is. The Jewish Pharisees still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, so they sent for the man's parents. So he went from saying, he's just a man named Jesus, I don't know what he looks like, to now he's a prophet, because in all their arguing, he's just defending, and he's getting more solid that this guy is a miracle worker. This guy is the Messiah. This guy is the guy who said the prophecies that he would set the captives free and give sight to the blind, because he gave me my sight. Sorry. All right. Now, inner stage left, previously blind man's parents. All right. So now here they stand, and they began questioning them, and they gave this response of fear. We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age, and he will speak for himself. Now, these parents just threw their son under the bus. I mean, they should be jumping up and down. He can see. This is a miracle. Hallelujah. But they didn't. Why? Fear. They were fearful that they would get thrown out of the temple. They were fearful they weren't going to be allowed to come back into worship because they wanted to follow all these rules, you know. They didn't want a stigma. They already had it for all these years, everybody blaming them for possible that they sinned. So they've learned to live in this area of fear, trying to conform to everything going on around them so nobody thinks they're different. And they threw their miraculously healed son under the bus. That's crazy, right? Would we do that? Would we walk in that fear of somebody thinking we're different? Would we do that? Would we not want to stand out? Would we not want to be set apart? Jesus calls us to be set apart. And so we can't walk in that fear realm where we have to follow everything everybody else does, because it's not right. Jesus said, you are the sheep and you got to go this way and follow my voice, not walk with all the others. So the Jewish leaders had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be kicked out of the synagogue. Great leaders. So previously blind man is questioned again. They said to him, give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Well, that's false judgment. They're calling Jesus a sinner. They don't really know him yet, right? They just know that they have a prejudice against him. They are already thinking thoughts against him. Some of these Pharisees probably haven't even met him. They just know he's going around stirring trouble. They're hearing about him coming from town to town to town, and all the Pharisees are starting to be stirred up, and they have false judgment now against him. So the guy I wanted to name but can't, previously blind man, he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. Hallelujah, right? I mean, that speaks for itself. Really, because nobody else has ever been able to have eyes regenerated in 40 years of age or whatever age he is. So this debating goes back and forth. He's getting exasperated. So they are really going at him and they're like, what did he do to you? What did he do? There has to be more. How did he open your eyes? I like this guy. He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? He's got a good sense of humor, doesn't he? I mean, so what is he saying there, right there? I'm his disciple now. I'm following this man because I can see, right? That's what he's saying. So he went from man named Jesus to a prophet to I'm his disciple. I'm following this man because I can see, and you guys keep questioning me, and you're just being ridiculously stubborn. So he just put a little in there, you know, you want to be his disciples too? So they answered, they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God speaks to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And they were very proud of that fact that they were disciples of Moses. They're not looking for the Messiah. They're just trying to follow and look good. I would say that's a hardened heart. So in verse 30 to 34, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I mean, he's stating some pretty good facts, isn't he? The fact that he's looking at them, first of all, and he's probably going, you guys look pretty ridiculous. Excuse me. Yeah, so he just keeps stating the obvious facts. I have my eyes. I have my eyes. I have my eyes. So verse 34, to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. He was probably dancing out. Thank you. Finally. Wow. But see, they tried to bring back on that condemnation, didn't they? You were steeped in sin. And he knows because he heard Jesus tell them, no, it had nothing to do with that. So don't let people put things back on you either. When you know you're free, when you've been told by God in his word, you are free. Don't let people put it back on you just because they think that's what it's going to be. They think that you have something wrong with you because they can't see it right. And so don't let them do that. So this man is now in a deeper relationship with the Messiah. He is recognizing that he can only be from God because he recreated his eyes. What the enemy meant for evil, the Lord is using for good. Hallelujah. And in the final scene, picture number 5, Jesus seeks out the healed man. You see, we have this philosophy that everybody went to Jesus and then they got healed. But Jesus sought people out. Jesus knew people that needed healing. He knew he loved them, and he knew he wanted to show God's glory. And he sought this man out on the road, and now he seeks him out again. Doesn't that touch your heart? It touches my heart because when you're trying to figure out, you know, why I'm not healed or whatever, Jesus seeks us out because he loves us. All right, so in this scene, it's Jesus and the previously blind man, the healed man. He's the healed man now, no longer associated with blindness. And Jesus is down and looking at him in the eye, and he's giving him words of affirmation and love. Jesus had heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. He might not even know this is the man who put mud in his eyes because he couldn't see, right? So he's telling him who he is. I am the Son of Man. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. That had to flood his heart with love. And you know what his response was? If you're peeking ahead in verse 38, it says, "Then the man said, 'Lord, I believe.'" And he worshiped him. He believed him and he worshiped him. He called him Lord. He trusted him. That's what we have to do. We have to trust him. We have to call him Lord over all of our lives, every aspect of our life, not just one section, all sections. He is Lord, and we need to worship him no matter what our situation is. If we're still waiting on our healing, we need to still be worshiping because he loves us, and it's up to him how things go. He is the Lord. And so this man believed him, and he called him Lord, and he worshiped him. So physically healing of the blind, physical healing of the blind symbolizes the need for spiritual healing from sin's darkness. The blind man's physical healing led to seeing the truth of Jesus, giving spiritual insight and removing sin. The light of Christ transforms a sinner into a saint, being forgiven, cleansed, healed, and made whole. This man is now in a full relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes what Jesus has told him, and he worships him as Savior. He has been cleansed and transformed by him. He has a whole new life and identity. He went from being born blind and seeing nothing to being healed in the natural and the spiritual. And now he is able to see in both realms. Hallelujah. Don't we want to do that too? We want to see in both realms. We want to have his Holy Spirit within us and showing us both realms. Don't harden your heart against the Holy Spirit. Allow him to come in and open your heart so you can see truth in both realms. It will set you free. This man started out sitting on the side of the road begging, and now he's got a whole life in front of him, a completely different life. Who wants that? I wasn't doing so great in my life, and I'm so grateful that God did that for me. He set me free. I was blind spiritually, completely blind spiritually for 50 years. And Jesus came and interacted with me and showed me who he was. And I humbled my heart and walked in that direction. And now I can see spiritually, and it's wonderful. He set me free. Set me free. I have a whole new identity. The old person's gone. The new is here. Hallelujah. In verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now some Pharisees start strolling across the stage here. They overheard him and they say, "What? Are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Wouldn't that hurt? Yeah, when we say we can see and we don't need Jesus, we're actually on the opposite side. Our guilt remains. So those who think they see will become blind if they do not open their hearts to Jesus. They will be guilty of sin, hardened in their hearts, and tied down to wrong beliefs. We have to allow Jesus to come in and change everything according to his word. If we don't, we are walking in possible wrong beliefs, and they can take us away from God instead of to God. That's scary. That's really scary. I know for 50 years I had my thoughts and I thought that's what I needed, and it was all about sitting in church every Sunday, and that had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. It was the relationship with Jesus that I was missing. And when he brought me into that open eye area, now I need to find a new church. Now I need to find new beliefs. And I started reading the word, seeking what I was supposed to live like, and it changed everything. So in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." And that's a hard verse to read, but he's basically telling us that if you don't open your heart and allow the movement of the Holy Spirit in there, you will never see it. You will remain blind and you will miss so much. So much. Yes, I'm so grateful God met me and changed everything. He sought me. I was seeking him on Sundays in church, but he sought me during the week. And he's changed everything. It is God's nature to heal. What is the significance of Jesus healing the blind man? It was the love of God for his people, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. He wants us healed so we get a knowledge of him that's beyond what we thought before. We can desire a healing and receive it and never know who God is. But when he comes in and he gives us a knowledge and he opens our eyes and he changes everything in our spirit realm as well, then we really know who he is. And he takes us into that deeper relationship as we go through it. So not only should we be seeking a healing, we should be seeking wellness. Wellness with Christ. He can change everything and make our whole lives well, not just whatever physical ailment we have going on. Hallelujah. That is the desire of our hearts, is to be so close to God that we're well, that we walk in wellness. So Jesus heals today, as in this story in John 9. His purpose is still to save those who are lost. And for those who are his children, the compassion and the love of Jesus gives miraculous physical healing. When healing doesn't come in an expected way, trust that God is working out what is best because he loves us. Amen. Romans 8:28, he turns all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Jesus continues to seek the blind, give sight to the blind, and save the blind, both physically and spiritually. Jesus came to open eyes and hearts, to bring repentance and freedom. And with that ministry, the blind will see. Hallelujah. We can now see. When we open up our hearts and we allow him to come in, we can see things that we've never seen before. So hallelujah. I know it's a little bit of a short version today. You know, it's a play. The actors got tired. I still have my sense of humor. Ha ha, devil. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing us your face today, Lord. Thank you for the goodness that your heart is for us. Thank you for this love that we cannot even begin to fathom. We're just scratching the surface, God. You love us so much. I pray that everyone seeking a healing is seeking wellness, seeking wholeness with you, God. The understanding of who you are is so much more important than the physical ailments. We thank you, Lord, for healing us physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, making us well. Lord, you are so good. You are so good. You have sacrificed so much for us to understand that. So I just pray that people open their hearts today, open up their minds today, and walk out of blindness. The blind will see, Lord Jesus, because that's your ministry. You've came to set us free. So no matter what you're facing today, allow God to open up your heart to deeper levels so you get to know him more. You get to know him and become well and walk in spiritual freedom. Thank you, Jesus. And the natural physical healing will follow. We have to receive it in our spirits first. Healing of our spirit is first. And the healings for our physical bodies follow because of our minds. He gave us a mind to fill with his word. We thank you, Jesus. I just pray healing over the social media, everyone listening by podcast. I pray healing over your bodies now in the name of Jesus. I command sickness to shrivel up and die. I command sickness to go now in Jesus' name. There will be no fruit of sin in these people because they are seeking God. And God loves them and he has set them free from sin and thus sickness. We thank you, Lord, that when we receive forgiveness of sins, we receive freedom from sickness. The two are inseparable. They're inseparable. He committed everything into his own body, took it to the cross, and left it in the grave. So sickness must stay in the grave along with sin. We are forgiven, we are healed, and we receive that in our spirits. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for making that a deep revelation to each and every person, that in their spirit they are healed. Hallelujah, they're healed. They're forgiven of sins, they're healed. Physical bodies will line up in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And I bless each and every one. Get a hold of us if you need to talk to us. Get a hold of us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for showing us your face today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.